Listen.
Fitzy and Whipper. Welcome to the podcast, a big podcast. This is the best podcast we've ever done. So much on the podcast.
Big or best, choose one, mate.
Biggest and best.
Yeah,
merge them.
I don't like that.
Biggest.
I would say, why don't we just try to be relatable? The most average podcast that there is.
Why would we serve up average?
Well, that's our show, mate. That's three hours of every day.
And be above average, and that's why we bring this guy in. Word of the day, Tom.
Hi, guys. Nice to see you again.
Just give us a word of the day.
Hoary is the word of the day today.
Hoary?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Greyish white. So, Whipper, I would say to you, you're looking pretty hoary.
How dare you?
He's the one that threw that party, wasn't he?
No, that was Corey.
Corey Worthington.
That is word of
that's
the day.
That's boring. Huh? That's not the word of the day, but what you delivered is quite boring. Mm.
Okay. Well, why don't you go and get...
You're right, it is average, mate. You were spot on from the start. Coming up, stuff.
I've never been to the Oscars before.
Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
We are the only profession that celebrates what it means to live a life.
Night of nights.
You know what was funny? Yesterday, the moment it happened, I was sitting in the car and I had my phone just tucked under my leg on the seat.
Mm.
The thing just started buzzing and I knew it was a group all. I assumed someone had died, but it was just everyone from here within this room going, oh my God, look at this. Oh my God, look at this.
We
all
text each other.
Yeah.
I went for a bike ride. I came back. There was 30 text messages. I thought someone had died on stage. I thought Dickie may have died on the red carpet.
Amazing.
It's like, what's happened?
I think a few people wish they'd died.
And he looks it this morning.
Yeah, we're going to get Dickie on a little bit later. He looks like he's settled in for a view at the bar, which is good news.
Jimmy Kimmel did a great job. Love Jimmy Kimmel. His opening monologue was great, but the highlight for me is when he surprised, and if anyone's been to Hollywood before, I find it a dirty place.
Well, but there's different parts to it, isn't there?
It's just full of the tours, so you just jump on a bus and you go around on a tour, and there was a busload of tourists. Jimmy Kimmel had set it up and said, look, don't tell them. Let's dim the lights and get these people to come in. So they've got their phones out. They had no idea that they were walking into the Oscars.
Yep.
And there was this lovely couple there that were about to get married. Have a listen to what happened next.
Hi, Vicky. Are you here with Gary?
That's my fiancé.
Well, oh, really? When are you getting married?
July 18th.
Who's your favorite actor?
That man right there.
Denzel? Would you be the best man at their wedding?
I now pronounce you husband and wife. Kiss the bride.
He's Denzel, so it's legal.
Could you imagine that moment? The great thing about those tours are you'll get on the bus and one will tell you that's Halle Berry's house and the next one will tell you, that's Halle Berry's house.
Yeah, I know.
So you never know where you're going to end up, and to wander into the Oscars, awesome.
The thing that surprised me about that, I mean, if they're Hollywood tour bus goers, they're going to probably know that the Oscars are on.
You would think
and
so.
And the Kodak Theatre is probably not going to be just its usual barren place. Unless they snuck them in the backest of back doors.
They're Americans, mate. A majority of them would have no idea. I'm serious. They would have no idea.
Just go with the flow.
Yeah, they were on a tour. They wouldn't know where the Kodak...
Oh, my God, where are we? Oh, my God, what is this?
Aussie's disappointed that Lion didn't win any awards.
No, not even one. La La got, five in the end, I think.
Well done to Hacksaw Ridge. They received two Oscars. Robert McKenzie received one for sound engineer. He's coming on our show later on. We've got an Aussie, a winning Aussie coming on, Tom. What time?
He's going to be on just after 8, Fitz.
Amazing, that's brilliant.
I mean, where do you go? That's what I want to know. You've won an Oscar. So you've got to go out the back. You've got to get a photo. Mm. Then you've got to answer a couple of questions. Do you get, a key to every nightclub in the place?
No, I think you just get a pat on the back in the end, and you wander off knowing that the next film you do will pay very well.
You've got to get a roped-off area at the Viper Room or something, don't you?
I don't think the official after party would be at the Viper Room. Famous for River Phoenix's death.
It was actually a terrible day for Australia because not just that with Mel and no one really getting an award, but what was with Nicole Kidman's clapping?
I don't know. I don't understand
that. That's done terrible things for Australia.
Was that the camera? Because I was looking into thinking, one, her hands look far too long than they should be. But secondly, I thought maybe she's got a lot of jewellery on and didn't want them to clash.
That was my thought.
And that's why her palms are like that.
It's a mum clap.
My mum doesn't clap like that.
Your mum, I reckon, would clap like
that.
She does
not clap like that.
What point
Hercules. It's like out of the Nutty Professor. Remember at the table?
Oh.
And mums go, look at him.
But at what point do you evolve from a normal stare stand a clap to that thing?
I haven't had a chance to ask him. We'll look into that.
This is really unfortunate, sir, this story. A former Parcel Force driver, who's basically a postie, has expressed his enormous shame and regret after performing an intimate act in a letterbox of a vacant house over a six-month period in Northern Ireland. David Campbell, poor Dave, he's pleaded guilty. The court heard that there was a guy, and he was doing renovations on his late mother's house, sir, and he told police that his suspicions were raised after observing a puddle on the floor just out inside of the front door of the house. It was one of those letterboxes that are on the door of the house over in Ireland. So you just come in.
Oh, we put it through the front door?
Yeah, we've got one of those. Yeah, sure.
He spoke to the workman who ruled out, sorry, mate, there's no leaks at the property, so don't blame us. He was going back there regularly and there was this puddle there quite a bit, so he set up some CCTVs, some videos around the place, and he saw a Parcel Force van pulling up outside the house at around 1 p.m. A male got out of the vehicle, walked up to the property. The man then pulled down his pants and made love to the letterbox.
Do you have a photo of the door? Was it a very good-looking door?
No.
Did the door have boobs?
It was a rundown house, which is even worse.
Sure.
The incident lasted a few minutes before the man pulled up his pants, got back in the van and drove off.
He's done it
numerous times.
Gives a new meaning to junk mail. If they'd had sort of just a no junk mail sign there.
Can I just say, there's been some amazing comments on this story and that wasn't in there, so well done.
Thank you. I made the list.
Because David wrote, well, that's a bit stupid, he's tossed his job away.
I can see that.
Nice.
Someone else has written, he likes a bit of door play.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Sure, sure.
I wonder if his wife asks, has the postie come yet?
Yes.
He put the wrong package in the letterbox. I didn't know that's how you sign for a parcel when you don't have a pen.
Jesus.
Someone also congratulated him and said, now he's the proud father of a baby letterbox.
Which is fantastic.
Sex press post.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Okay.
But this one's my favourite. Can I get a drum roll? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Oh, I'm just about.
Oh. Happy Tuesday, yeah?
The fact that you acted it out, like you really got into that joke, you delivered it with like a buckling laugh as you curled over. We're better than that on this show.
There's no question that's a stupid question like any question I know.
All right. I may have said there are some stupid questions out there, but not on this show, and you're safe in this segment. Give us a call, 13 24 10. Plenty coming through this morning. Tommy, you ready on Google? You're the man that's got to give the answers
I'm
here.
Ready to go. I'm really excited all about today's questions.
Not a real doctor, mate. Dr. Death over here.
What?
Down on the Central Coast. What? What's your question, Dan?
How you going, boys?
Hey, good, Danos.
That's the way. I'm the one that asked the question about the cows being gay, because I'm quite interested to know if they're being gay without anything being funny.
Okay. Dan, are you suggesting can an animal be gay? Are you broadening outside of a cow, or are you specifically, have you seen two bulls going at it or something?
I've seen two bulls going at it, but my thing is going dead at the moment.
Can also be two cows.
Yeah, no, can be. Can be two cows.
Doesn't have to
of course.
Be two bulls.
I was just suggesting.
Cows,
yeah, okay. I was just suggesting.
Tom.
Yes.
Oh, they can be. Is it they just can. Like, I mean, we're animals as we are in itself, so it's just a certain part of the community.
That's right. And there are over 1,500 animal species that have some same-sex relations, including not just cows, but penguins, black swans, pigeons, and dolphins.
And dolphins, yeah, right.
Well, no, humans and dolphins are the only ones that do it for pleasure, aren't
they? And monkeys.
So they would be confused if they're in a gay relationship, an animal. That's just for experimentation, wouldn't it be?
We don't know. They might be attracted to it.
Yeah. They might be in love.
Do they know the other genders?
They wouldn't know. Because then also it's breeding. They copulate to breed.
As we do.
But then they give off scents and stuff like that so you know that they're ready to go. So why would two...
dolphins,
genders that are exactly the same with an animal, you wouldn't be getting that same kind of heat coming off, Tom.
Well, it could but just be this exact same thing as humans.
Well, my Google search hasn't extended that far.
Well, Tom, let me just have a look on your computer. Oh!
Oh, whoa! What have you Googled? Don't go to images. Tommy, have they legalized gay dolphin marriage yet?
Whoa. There goes my third warning.
Tom, and Tom, is that legalized... you with the cow? Or is that...
Hang on.
Let's go to the next question.
They haven't legalized it
I
in
heard
the dolphin
you
community.
The first time. Whip. They have not legalized gay marriage.
What about
with
in New Zealand? Can you be a gay dolphin in New Zealand?
Yes, you have to swim there.
Okay. Fiona in Moorbank, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Hey, fellas. I just want to know, why do people say proud as punch?
Oh, okay.
Proud as punch, I think we heard through your broken phone there, Fiona.
That's I've got no explanation for that.
Punch. Oh, God, I don't know. What do you think, Sarah? Is it because your punch is your front, is your,
no,
is
no,
your
well,
show,
I'm,
and you show pride if you...
I'm thinking more of making a punch at a party,
Sarah.
Oh,
okay, you're
well,
pouring
you,
vodka
you can
in.
Be proud of a punch, can't you?
Yeah,
yeah.
Party, that's a great Bacardi
with a lot of
mix
fuel.
You've made.
Well,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah, you put in a lot of effort to put into your punch. Is that what it is, Tom?
Is that pineapple juice?
Do you guys remember the Punch and Judy
punch
show?
Punch and Judy, yes.
Yes, it ties into that puppet show, the old English puppet show, Punch and Judy, and Punch was a bully. But he was also a very proud puppet who would...
it was a puppet show, wasn't it?
Never admit being wrong. So Punch, proud as punch, relates to Punch from the Punch and Judy.
Punch and Judy. God, Fiona, I hope that helps you out. No question is a stupid question.
Daniel in Cabramatta, what's your question, Dan?
How you going, fellas?
Hey, good, Daniel.
Hey, mate.
I was just wondering, what does the baby first see when it comes out of the womb?
What does a baby first see?
I like, is it looking around going, oh my God, there's a doctor? And what have I just come out of?
Well, it would just be a blurred, wouldn't it? It would just be
light, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, it would be light through some sort of filter, I would say, because they don't have clear vision straight away, I don't think, babies.
Mm. And you know when you get up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet and you turn the light on, Sarah, and it's
yeah,
like
it'd be
that?
Like that.
Oh, no.
Would it be like that, Sarah?
But what, you'd have gunk in your eye, wouldn't you? Because don't they come out covered in gunk?
And then they say that you babies sort of, they come awake after about 10 days. So quite often you'll see a baby just start to look around after about 10 days going, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, right.
Tommy, any idea?
You guys are pretty much spot on. They see newborns see blurry shapes, but they are very nearsighted. So, yes, it's all just a blur for them. But they can. Their hearing is actually really good because they've been hearing in the womb all the time.
Louis wouldn't have known which one was his mum.
Well, the probably blurry list. Oh, probably would have been good for Louis.
Yeah. Just, what would have been good, mate?
Well, just that it was all blurry, you know? Yeah.
Well,
is
two
that
mums,
my old man
two
or,
mums.
Mums, or is that my...
This is weird.
My son does not think he has two mums.
Been born into a modern family.
Well, if he thought that, that would be fine. Same with the dolphins in New Zealand getting married. Mate.
Do you know, there was a beautiful photo on Instagram the other day that Inga, your wife, put up. He has very similar hair to you. Is he going to grow it out to yours, Tom, or are you going to do it differently?
No, he's going to grow it out.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going really long.
Oh, good news.
Yep. So three of us will get recognised.
Let's hope he's got your wife's jeans.
Yep. Okay, mate.
Burn nudie jeans.
Weather is weird around this country at the moment.
Thursday, 5 to 10 millimetres. Go on, then we've got another 5 to 10 millimetres on Friday.
Yeah.
Then it's going to be raining over the weekend.
Hey, weather. What the?
Oh, my gosh.
You know? Me be like, whoa.
Oh.
Where
did
that come from?
Hey, weather. What's up?
What the was Rove?
Hmm?
Yeah, and you're trying to rip off Rove,
no,
aren't
I'm not
you?
Doing Rove. I'm just doing generic, like, what's going on weather?
Where'd you get them from, though?
Oh, they're just catchphrases from social media these days. So I've done what the, I've done what's up, and me be like. Which
where's
is
me be
sort of,
like?
I've never heard of me be
you know,
like.
Me be like, when you go, if you don't understand something, I would go, me be like, what?
Yeah, maybe like have maybe a rest, like, mate, and maybe walk out the studio.
Maybe like, do you want more? I got more.
We have had... This has been a brutal summer, though, for us, hasn't it?
Oh,
and
yeah.
We shouldn't complain. It's, you know, we've had some hot days, but just the humidity.
Too hot, though.
See, how's this? Tasmania, brace yourself. They're going through a heat wave. Hobart, Launceston are going through a massive heat wave at the moment. They've had a run of 3 days... where the temperature has been 28 degrees.
Oh, jeez.
Seriously?
That place will be melting. It's just melting.
It'd be quite pleasant.
Do you know the definition of a heatwave is a run of days above the average maximum temperature for that time of the year? Have a crack at what Hobart is Maximum.
Maximum?
Yeah, what their maximum average temperature at this time of the year, end of summer. So
24?
22 degrees.
Wow.
22 degrees.
Not often Tassie makes the news.
I want to know, when it's 28 degrees in Hobart, yep. Is that hot?
Well, you go home from school early. everything shuts down. The fishermen don't come in.
Isn't that super windy, though?
Tassie?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if it's particularly windy, is it? Maybe you get a bit of rolling wind over the hills there as you come into Tassie.
It's a very dry. It'd be a very dry heat, wouldn't it? I mean, you're not getting humidity down in Tasmania.
No, you know it's the roadkill capital of Australia? Possibly the world, in fact.
You've made that statistic up.
No, I haven't. There's dead wombats and bunnies all over the place. They're everywhere.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this quite a bit. With Tasmania, and I looked into my cupboard. You know how you've got to spring clean all the time, Seth?
Yep.
But one thing here in Sydney is that you can't really buy a big, thick jacket because I don't think it doesn't get cold enough in winter that you can go on.
No, not in Sydney.
Not really.
You know, whereas down in Tasmania, you might have a great collection of big, thick jackets.
I'm trying to work out where you're going with this. Are you wanting to sell your big, thick jacket to a Tasmanian this morning?
Guys, today's my last day. I'm going to do a breakfast show down in Hobart.
Does anyone have a big, thick jacket that they could lend Fitzy?
Renegade and the Bunyip used to be from Glenorchy.
Yeah, Glenorchy.
Glenorchy in Tasmania.
Yeah.
Can we find out what the breakfast show is down there, Tom?
Do you know what's fascinating about Tassie? And Mona, that gallery that's put Tassie on the modern day map, right? David Walsh. The fact that he's a gambler, but he's a mad mathematician. So that's that art gallery down there, and it's got the wall of 1,000 vaginas there.
Wow.
It's just moulded vaginas on a wall.
Don't say it to me just because I'm a woman. I don't want to see that.
He's a mathematician, but he makes a punter.
Yes, and he makes his money from gambling, but nobody knows how he makes his money. Nobody knows the formulas of how he makes money punting, but he makes hundreds of millions of dollars and does great things for Tasmania. A couple of times they've run a few inquiries, but they don't dig up much. They've also got this machine there, so you're like this.
Yes.
They've recreated the human body. So basically, they feed this machine normal food scraps, and then it comes out as poo at the other end.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, how clever is that?
That's interesting.
It smells a bit.
So is that the best thing about Tasmania?
Yeah, go and have a look.
And the heat wave.
They can create poo. Well,
that and the wall.
Jump on a flight now. Get down to Launceston or Hobart.
Take a big jacket, though. Don't take a big jacket.
Because it'll change in a couple of days.
Welcome to the Dolby Theatre.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture.
Personally, I blame Steve Harvey for this.
Richard Wilkins, welcome to the show.
Hello, kids. How are we doing?
Oh, man. You sound drunk. Are you all right, Dickie?
Oh, come on, boys. I've had a good night's sleep.
But I can smell the gin on your breath from here. No, I'm joking, Dickie. I know you are professional. Mate, where the hell do we start, Dickie? Take us back to where you were the moment this whole thing unraveled.
Well, I guess you're talking about envelope gate.
Unbelievable. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I was sitting up, I was working tirelessly, sitting up in our bureau here in the heart of Los Angeles, watching the show, compiling my report, which will go to air shortly, and there was like, what? Is this a gag? Is Matt Damon going to get another mention here or something? Because I thought Jimmy Kimmel was terrific, by the way.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
Didn't you? I mean, you guys are funny guys and you respect another funny guy, right?
His opening monologue was very, very good. I liked it.
Yeah, good. So, yeah, I couldn't believe it because I thought and still think, actually, that La La Land should have won.
Yeah, sure.
So that was quite a moment. And poor old Warren Beatty, I thought, I didn't know whether he's left his bifocals behind and, you know, read it wrong, but appears he got handed, you know, a wrong envelope, which was a duplicate of Emma Stone's thing, and the producer of La La Land was very cool and sort of acknowledged it. Off we go.
Yeah.
Rest of history. Yeah.
Well, I mean, when they were walking out, Dickie, was that the talk of the town? I mean, even at the after parties.
What do you reckon?
Just maybe.
Where did you sneak in afterwards, Dickie?
Oh, mate, I had a sneaky little drink with the gang after the show.
And, right.
You know, when I finished work, you know, I did actually mosey down to the bar, just very briefly, obviously. Mm. You know, because it was a big day, let's be honest.
Yeah, huge.
But, you know, it's the talk of the town. It's on the front page of all the papers here. Envelope Gate, you know, the bloke who did the wrong thing at the Miss Universe. What's his name?
Steve Harvey. Yeah. Steve Harvey, yeah.
Exactly. All is forgiven. In fact, he might be back as the host to the Oscars.
Oh, how good would that be? How good would that be for a nice twist on it?
Yeah, but it was a bit of a boo-boo. There's no sort of getting around that.
Well, I mean, we saw it on Australia's Next Top Model, then Steve Harvey did it. Now we've had the situation from yesterday, of course. Dickie, anything any stuff-ups that stand out in your mind of what you've done over the years?
Oh, well, I did kill off Jeff Goldblum. Let's not forget about that.
That's just the dangers of entertainment, mate.
So, you know, I'm not entirely blameless.
He's alive and well.
How does he react every time you see Jeff Goldblum now, Dickie?
I just tell him that I'm glad that he's looking well and he's up and running, you know, and he's back on his feet and all appears to be well.
Dickie,
I think I better go, boys. I think I'm on the telly. We might be doing a simulcast.
Okay. All right. Sweet. Is Elle McPherson
Love
there,
you,
Dickie?
Boys.
Elle McPherson there?
Hang on, I'll have a look.
See you, mate.
No, I can't see her anyway. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Very, very excited to have this young lady in the studio. Her voice is just divine. Debut album Know It All is available now. Playing her quite a bit on Nova. We love her. Alessia Cara, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, you're a Canadian. Why is it a lot of people say that Australian and Canadians are very similar?
All the time. And you're not the first to say it today, actually.
Yeah,
many
right.
people have told me that today. I think Australia kind of feels like, just like the location itself feels a lot like Canada.
Yeah,
like
right, the landscape.
A mixture of like somewhere in California and Canada mixed together. I don't know, the people are just really nice and friendly, and I mean, Canadians are, for the most part, friendly.
We try to be.
Your mountains are a lot bigger than ours, that's for sure.
Yeah, really?
We like to go, I mean, we love to ski here in Australia, but there's only so few many places that we can go and ski, but we like to go over to Canada to the Rockies there. And Australians, do you find a lot of Australians there growing up? Did you see that in your town just out? You're in the suburbs of Toronto, is that correct?
Yes, I'm from a place called Brampton, Ontario. I had never met an Australian until I came to Australia.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah, that's true. Where you'd find them, yeah.
Yeah, we've got heaps of them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, talking about where you live, I was reading that also out of the same city Drake was from, and also The Weeknd, is that right?
Yeah, The Weeknd, Drake, Justin Bieber, Shawn Mendes, a bunch of us are from, like, suburbs of Toronto.
Is there a school there that just...
Punching out superstars.
Nurtures yes. all these superstars.
Yes, it's called the Pop Star School of Canada, yes.
Well, you've been through it, you're
it's
doing all right.
School. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I can't tell you any of the lessons or I'd have to kill you.
Brilliant.
We can't discuss anything.
So the other thing I was reading, which, I mean, you talk about the great names that have come out of where you're from, is Justin Bieber, the only concert you've ever been to.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, now I've been to
yeah.
a few more.
Yeah.
But the first concert I'd ever been to, yeah. And the only one for a while, yes.
What was he, 12 back then? I mean, how old? What was this?
It was definitely prepubescent, Justin Bieber. Yeah. He came down on wings. He came down. He just floated down. I'm like, is this what all concerts are like crazy.
He just
crazy.
Did Baby 5 times and that was it.
Yeah, and everyone just screaming. They didn't even hear what songs he was singing.
I love it.
They're Chad Kroeger
just
from Nickelback.
Oh,
have you run into him?
Let me just say this. Let me put this on record. Okay. Everybody has this weird hatred for Nickelback.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I really genuinely enjoy their music.
There you go.
It's more of a confusion. I think when it's the look, it's the shirts, it's the hair, it's the goatee, it's the pants around your feet. And that's why everyone went back and went, hang on a minute, what's this bloke on about?
When they first came out and Figured You Out came out, and just the start of a song, for anyone to start it like this. I like your pants around your feet. It's just brilliant.
It's a good start, isn't it?
That is not a line.
Okay. That's not the best. I didn't say that was my favorite.
How do you do that in concert?
Yeah, and don't say that to a girl if you meet her at the bar as well. It doesn't get you very far.
Bar a drink
first.
Yeah,
that didn't really help my case very much.
That's funny.
So good to have you here in Australia. Enjoy your time, Alessia, and we'd love to chat to you again in the future.
Thank you. Thank you guys very much.
No worries. Thanks for your time.
Lights, camera, clarity. Oh, Sarah.
Sir, it is the biggest news of the past 24 hours. Lisa Curry Kenny's breakdown on I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here.
Wow. Is she still in the jungle?
Yeah. All the tears last night. You've
got
the update.
Sorry, I haven't been watching that.
Oh, sorry. What did you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about the Oscars. Coming out of this is the conspiracy theories. And I mentioned one of them before, but there's a few around how this stuff up came with the Best Picture and the wrong movie being read out.
Yeah.
So first one is that Jimmy Kimmel did it as a prank. And when it went down really badly, he pulled his hand up for it.
Jimmy Kimmel is a very smart man. I don't think he would go to that extent.
It's a ballsy gag, isn't it?
The flip of that is that Matt Damon was pulling the prank on Jimmy Kimmel. So has arranged to embarrass him.
That's good.
Yeah, I would support that.
He should claim that.
Although, did you see they were actually, I know they're mates and the whole thing's a joke, but they were sitting next to each other. They had the seats next to each other when he wasn't on stage.
Did they? They are mates. Yeah.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's how you could do it.
I didn't realise that he would then go and sit down next to him. The whole night, the camera was on Matt Damon and fat jokes and the whole bit.
Can we get this? One thing clear, if you're waking up this morning, poor Warren Beatty, the old bloke who read it out. Now, if anyone who doesn't know, great actor. It's not his fault, is it, Sarah?
Well, they're saying it's not.
Because he was given... The actress, Best Actress Award.
Yeah, so there are two cards for every category. And this is the third conspiracy theory actually plays into this. The third one is that when Leonardo DiCaprio has handed Emma Stone, Best Actress, she's then standing there talking about the award, you know, accepting it, and he's in the background holding the envelope. So Leo still had one in his hand. She's walked off stage and they've given her another one. They say Leo went and put the other one back in the pile or gave it to Warren Beatty. They think it's a Leo sabotage because it took so long for him to get an Oscar. It's his way of getting back at them.
My question would be, why the hell would you print two cards? Knowing this needs to be as clean as you keep them in a safe or something.
They do. They have them. Haven't you seen on the red carpet in the suitcase, in the briefcase attached to the two accessible at the one time?
If one goes missing, you don't have another one. It's not like where do you keep the other one?
You would keep it separate in a separate pile that was not accessible so you could confuse the
two. There are two people from PricewaterhouseCoopers who have these briefcases. It's their job to hand it out. I just don't understand why you wouldn't read it first.
It's a simple job.
Looking for jobs.
Yeah, they're having a quiet one.
Why is PricewaterhouseCoopers looking after the winners of the Oscars?
Well, because they, I think, must look after the legalities around the voting system.
It's their event management business. It's just their side division.
Some things, though, that weren't caught on camera that were kind of sweet was that Dwayne Johnson on the red carpet was one of the only celebrities to walk over to a group of veterans who were on the red carpet watching and enjoying it. And he went over there and shook every single one of their hands and had a photo with
them. That's great.
Yeah, lovely guy.
Was Brad Pitt there last
night?
No,
he wasn't.
No, cool.
I don't think he had a reason to go. Yeah, why were you looking?
Because he would have gone over and shook their hands.
Yeah, he would have, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would. He's like that, Brad Pitt.
Well, Ryan Gosling was as good. He stayed after the awards. He and the director for La La Land were the only people still in the auditorium having photos with fans and things.
Wow.
Everyone else had cleared out to get to the after parties. Speaking of which, they were going a little bit... before we move on, there is a video. Chrissy Teigen fell asleep during the ceremony.
Awesome.
During Casey Affleck's speech. And the camera is on the person in front of her, and there she is in the background asleep on his shoulder. She slept through Emma Stone's win and then woke up for the Best Picture.
She wasn't listening to John's new song, was she?
Her head is on his
shoulder. If you've spent the entire day getting ready and getting your hair done, then you've had a few champagnes before you wander the red carpet, you'd be stuffed.
Oh, you're on the red carpet for a few hours. Then it was over a four-hour ceremony.
My God, I'd be asleep.
Well, you go to the pub first and you get a counter meal before you go in, and then you'd tip a few in.
You're right.
And you know when you have a few and then you stop?
Yep.
You want to go to sleep.
Yeah, you do.
It's an open bar, but apparently everyone during the ads just runs outside to get food and drinks because you're not allowed to take it inside.
So she was probably a little bit tipsy.
Can't get back in. Yeah. It's so similar to the ladies.
That's right. The after parties, though, were going off. The big one, Elton John, he does a viewing party every year and it's a big fundraiser and there are a lot of auction items up for grabs. And he was making fun of Warren Beatty, saying, thank God he wasn't the one doing the auction on the night. Mm-hmm. That would have ended badly. Anyway, that's a big one that gets filled. The Governor's Ball is where most of the guests go straight after the Oscars because it's in the same building. So they drop by there, do their photos and things, do a bit more red carpet. Jimmy Kimmel was there, Vince Vaughn, Pharrell Williams, a group of others, and they obviously serve them a lot of food. And these people just seem to go berserk for junk food. It's all cheeseburger sliders,
great.
Apparently, and pot pies. It's your kind of night whips.
Yeah, I like that.
And the big one for Elton John as well. You go from the you go from throwing your own party
at the after
party of the Oscars to coming to perform in Wollongong. So that'll be a big one for him.
The one, though, that they all do rock up to is the Vanity Fair party, which is catered for by In-N-Out Burger. God love them. Reese Witherspoon, Miranda Kerr, Kate Hudson, JT and Jessica Biel were there. They actually were caught sneaking out of the ceremony before Best Picture. And they got it because apparently they wanted to beat traffic. Yes. That's but someone who was there, Halle Berry, there is a video doing the rounds.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah, very weird. She has put up a video where she walks in her Oscars dress to the Bruno Mars tune of Versace on the Floor, takes off her dress and does a skinny dip.
At the after party.
No, it's not.
Where is she?
She's obviously at a hotel pool. She's got home. She's had a good night and she's thought video
Why
time.
Wouldn't you?
Good on her.
Wasn't
she
a promo
amazing.
For Versace. Her dress wasn't Versace.
I don't even know that.
Hey, confusing texts that guys send to girls and how to respond. There's been an article that's come out over the last couple of days, Sarah, and I just want to go through it. I think these are pretty obvious how you should perceive them. I'll go through a few of them. Number one is the non-committal text.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so girls, if you receive a text from a guy, you know, similar to I might be going or I haven't decided yet or I'll let you know. It's, it says here that he's just simply indecisive or does he have you on the back burner? That's a pretty obvious one. He's not into you.
No, he's not keen. If he's keen, he's locking it in.
They say here how to respond for a girl, which I totally disagree with. Why don't you write back something like, let me know when you figure it out or what else do you have going on tonight? If you want to organise a date with a guy and he writes back, oh, I'll let you know, or I haven't decided yet, you're not going to write back, what else have you got going on tonight?
Yeah, you sound a little bit desperate.
No one likes a keno. You're a keno and you're pushy.
The rain check text, which is usually, sorry, can't tonight, or too much work to do, maybe next week.
That's not bad. I mean, that can be an honest one from a guy. If a girl gets that, that can be honest.
Yeah, but maybe next week? Why not maybe tomorrow?
Yeah, you want a more of a precise date, wouldn't you?
Next week, Tuesday night,
let's do that.
Yeah. If a guy wants to see you, sir, he will go out of his way to ensure that it happens.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Okay, so if he's writing stuff like this, girls, I think it's time to move on. The flake-out text, this is a good one. Guys use this quite a bit. When you text a guy and you're not getting a response, and then they write back, sorry, I missed your text.
No, you didn't.
See, that's...
You're lying.
I do that. I'm not saying that I go back and forth with different girls, but I miss text messages, especially if I've gone to bed and then I wake up and I'll see them at sort of 4 a.m. in the morning and then I'll forget by the end of the day that they were there. Because now I'll sit down and put half an hour aside and write back to text messages in one go. Yeah.
Are you getting that many?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, heaps of interest.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty busy, mate.
Well, they say...
Life's pretty busy.
Girls, they say you need to respond. If a guy writes back and goes, sorry, I missed your text a few hours later, your best way to respond is, oh, don't worry about it. I forgot I even texted you.
No, that sounds like you're trying to be defensive. Just don't write back.
Or just write back, sorry, whose number is this? Who is this?
No, okay, that's just rude and
can go
obvious.
For that one.
Guys can be quite lazy as well, and that's why the one-worded text, you might receive this as well quite a bit, girls, and that's just a response of, cool, or good.
That's the worst.
Or K. If a guy writes back K and he can't even write okay.
Delete.
No, gone. He's not interested.
The overly complimentary text. This is where a guy texts you after a date and says, you were definitely the most beautiful girl at the bar tonight. You look unbelievably sexy when you're working out. This guy's obviously infatuated with you, and he's probably at your window watching you have a shower.
Well, you know what upsets me about that is that women fall for that sort of stuff, sir. And sometimes
I love you when you work out.
I've seen it a million times. No, but the flattery. And women fall for it. I've seen a guy say to a girl at a bar, you've got the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen.
Yeah, but
and she kissed him. And I went, oh, my God. I'm not going to play that game.
It's a standard line, mate.
I know it is. And that's why I'm saying, why do women fall for that?
What do you mean? Because he obviously likes her.
It's one out of the book, mate. He's just trying to pick her up, and she's thinking, oh, my God, this guy's someone's finally noticed
me. So what do you say? Geez, your nose is crooked. Yeah. How about we hook up?
No, but just to go with such a standard line.
What's your go-to line? Flash your American Express card and say, what do you want? Anything from the bar, love?
Yeah. I got my dad's business card. No,
I've got my dad's credit card. My dad's fully paid off.
Yeah,
I'm not going to tell you what this one's called, but if a guy texts and all it says is, yo, what's up, what does that mean?
It's a booty call, and no, you absolutely don't write back to that.
Well done, Sarah. It's the booty call text.
You've got that a few times, have you?
Or, no, I have not.
Yeah, see, that's, if a bloke writes, well, yo, what's up, that's just especially so blatantly
But when is it? When is it a booty call?
Anytime
after
9:30.
Is it 9:30?
Yeah.
A.M.?
No, that's...
Says has got a midday meeting.
Yeah, what's up?
Book the F1 hotel.
Not nice.
Did you ever have, you know, when you're at Bathurst Uni,
oh,
Sarah,
here we go, yep.
Did you ever have anyone that you would text, you know, all hours of the morning and say, yo, what's up?
No!
What about the tow man?
No, we were dating.
Oh, you were dating the tow man?
Yes. That was the first time we'd sort of.
Has he still got tinea on his mouth?
Did you have to?
I don't have tinea on my foot, so he wouldn't have it on his mouth.
Did you have to send him toe pics?
No. Yep. We only dated for like 3 weeks.
Hey, I'm away for a while. Send us a toe pic.
Here's me in a thong.
And one of your.
No.
And one of your big
toe. No, not your big toe. No. Your third toe in.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Have you just done your nails? Wow. Now take the socks off.
You two seem to know a lot about
seriously,
this.
Seriously, take the socks
off. Send us
off
a
and
photo
show me
of your bunion.
Oh, that's my favorite.
I've never been to the Oscars before.
Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
We are the only profession that celebrates what it means to live a life.
I mean, for the ladies, it's such a long day, Sarah. You obviously makeup, you know, getting fitted.
Yep.
Then you're sitting in there for such a long time. At the end of the night, you'd be keen just to go out, grab a kebab and go home, I suppose.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, grab a cheeseburger, I think, is what they all do.
Do you reckon 50 Shades Darker will get a nom for next year?
Ooh, no, but they both were through up there. They presented together.
Oh, did they?
And you forget that he's not American, so his accent, I think he's Irish.
British. Oh,
British?
Is he?
Irish.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's quite thick and a little bit difficult to understand.
He felt a bit uncomfortable, I think, last night, Jamie Doran.
I don't think he likes doing publicity.
No one would recognise her with clothes on.
See, afterwards as well, Whipper and I were thinking about it yesterday. Just would have loved to have been over there. I mean, Dickie, I think that's his 48th or something Oscars that he's been to.
Continues to tell us it's work.
Just gets into after parties there. And, I wonder how easy it would be for an Australian to get into after party.
He was there when Russell Crowe won for Gladiator. And Rusty said, mate, come and get involved. And they went out and had a big night. That would have been the best night ever.
Just would have been awesome. He talks. We've heard him talk stories about it. We can't tell him on radio because he would be arrested. But
that's fine.
So we thought yesterday. I mean, how easy would it be? Let's say if we were over in Hollywood, Sarah.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the big hotels over there is the Roosevelt, which is in Hollywood. It's the Hollywood Strip there, and we just thought they have huge parties there.
They do.
I mean, if we rang in as Aussies, could we get a roped off area? Or
we would need to be well known Aussies.
To what extent could we go to?
Oh, so I hear the old Russell Crowe voice coming out. I got a new one.
We gave him a call.
Oh, dear.
Hi, this is Francis. Who am I speaking with?
Hi there. It's Hugh Jackman. How are you?
Oh, how are you?
Yeah, good. The Wolverine himself putting in a phone call, trying to organise something special. Soak up the Oscars buzz, the night of nights.
Okay, how can I help you?
Wanting to see if I could organise a roped-off area for a couple of drinky-poos.
Unfortunately, we don't have any areas you can book for tonight. We have a special Oscars party that we're doing, but nothing specific.
All right. How do we go about making sure my name's on the list, then?
You have to go on Open Table and go ahead and book a ticket for yourself.
I think if I turn up and drop the Wolverine line, Wolverine, we might drop that rope and we'll walk straight in. What do you think?
I don't know, man. We're pretty keen with security, so you're still going to need a ticket.
Hey, look, I've got someone else here that might sway your thoughts there.
Yeah, right.
It's Mick Dundee. Nah, pull in your leg, mate. It's Paul Hogan. Oh, that's not a greeting. This is a greeting. How are you, mate?
I love it. All right, guys. Have a good night.
Oh, you're so fucking on, Dundee. Obviously, I hasn't seen the movie.
Oh, I thought that was pretty good.
That's a bit rough. How does he know how Hugh Jackman sounds?
Oh, that's big, sir.
So,
and we were struggling. I was just trying to be a little bit musical-like. You know?
So, as Hugh Jackman and Paul Hogan, we thought we'd have another crack, but maybe just go with somewhere that's a bit easy to get into. The Viper Room.
Viper Room, this is Tatiana.
Hi there. It's the boy from Oz, Hugh Jackman. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Yes, Mr. Australia calling, or you might know me as Wolverine. Just enjoying Oscars buzz around town, which is exciting. Putting in a request. Wanted to see if I could organise a bit of a roped-off area, a bit of VIP, just with some special guests tonight.
Yeah, I mean, are you talking about maybe as far as just a booth inside?
Yeah, we're thinking about some sort of real celebrity area, just me and some of my showmates. Hey, look, I'm here with awesome. Another big name. Paul Hogan is a mate of mine. He's here too. Hogs, you want to say hello? Yeah.
Throw another shrimp on the barbie, love.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so what can I? What else can I do for you? So you want to do a table?
What beer do you have? You don't have any Foster's Lager on tap there, do you?
No, unfortunately, we don't.
Well, that's good because it's shit anyway.
Whoa, wait a minute.
That's not a man.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, can you just wait there a second? Got someone else coming in. Who's this?
Hey!
Hello?
Hey, it's Russell Crowe. Oh, hey, mate, just overhearing the conversation, letting you know that the buzz is real.
Hollywood's Night of Nights.
Hollywood's Night of Nights.
Really, I won an Oscar. Really Russell Crowe?
I won an Oscar for Gladiator. You don't reckon we had a couple of drinks that night? I bought the horses in, we rode around town like we bloody owned the place. You win an Oscar, you don't buy a drink for the rest of your life. So if there's people there tonight, I wouldn't mind them serving up a couple of stiff ones for me.
Yeah, that sounds like a party. Thank you. Well, have a good night. Have fun tonight.
why does no one believe us?
I thought she did.
Why would no one believe us? Yeah. I don't know why. I thought we did well.
Oh, geez, it would have been a good night at the Viper Room with Hugh Jackman, Paul Hogan and Russell Crowe there.
I'm sorry, I'm just gathering my thoughts here because photos
God,
are being...
That'll take a while.
Well, photos are being taken of me.
Or not, because there's only one.
Cut. You just can't... You know, there's too many cameras and there's too many platforms to put embarrassing photos.
His hair looks like a German dictator at the moment.
And I do not like... And I'm not happy with the reference just before I go into a Pauline Hanson story.
Oh, you're bringing up your mate Pauline.
You're
again.
Fired.
Here we go. One way to slip her into the show.
Sarah...
Because you're the last card-carrying member of her
vote
party.
Vote one nation.
On my family's life, I would never, ever vote for Pauline Hanson.
Why do you bring her up at every opportunity? You're obsessed with her.
Because I want to pull her down.
Says finally something. She's finally found
this
something on Whipper.
This is a running gag that you're trying to go
No,
with.
It's not.
And it gets him okay. so...
In Sarah, the office, yep. you keep bringing
going,
her
keep
up.
Going. Keep going.
And now on air, you have a story about it.
Okay, keep going.
Were you at this pub?
Are you finished?
No, go
Making
ahead.
Up stories?
No.
No, I was not at this pub, Sarah, but she shouted at the patrons 100 beers. What was weird about it, that was her idea to win votes by buying beers. She streamed the whole thing live on Facebook. Listen to the shout. And also how fired up everybody in the pub was.
Oh, the bar tap's on, is it? Okay. Who's having a beer? You know, first 100 beers are on me. So if you'd like to have a beer, up at the bar. Yeah. Anyway, if anyone over there would like to get a beer, please go up to the bar.
Yeah, I know where to get them, love. She's like the Milky Bar kid. The beers are on me.
Was anyone there?
But I don't know. No one was reacting.
Do you know what,
I think
though?
Everyone was confused. But that, every time she speaks, she sounds like she's about to start crying. When she's there and her shaky voice is just quivering away.
Do you know what, though? Even if you don't support Pauline Hanson, if you're in a pub and she shouts 100 beers, you're going to grab one, aren't you? You're going to at least grab one set. Would you grab a free drink?
Oh, the bar tap's on. Is it? Okay.
Is it?
Who's having a beer?
You organised
it. First 100 beers.
Where
are
do
on
I get
me.
Them?
So if you'd like to have a beer. Where?
There's no one here, Pauline.
Up at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever people anyway. Who just don't drink beers or talk about it, try to act like they're one of the boys at the pub. No. It just always sounds terrible.
Fair suck of the sauce bottle. Just awesome.
Poor Pauline.
Can we go with this one too? Bill Murray. I mean, I want to talk about celebrities. Let's move from Pauline into broader celebrities here. If they've bought you a drink, I want to know why and how it happened. Like Bill Murray, when the Chicago Cubs had a win, he said to everyone sitting around him, "These are on me," and everybody cheered. He got a reaction. You've got a story though, MDG.
It almost is as good as that. You remember there was that big buzz around when Vince Vaughn and Mel Gibson and Andrew Garfield were doing the rounds around Sydney. They were filming Hacksaw Ridge, amazing. Yep. And I was at the bar in one of the bars in the Cross, and Vince Vaughn was there, and it was me, Bronte, and her sister Claudia.
Yeah.
And Vince was like, "I'm going to the bar. Do you guys want a drink?"
Really?
Like, oh, unbelievable.
Were you talking to him?
Yeah. And they were just chatting around. He came, He came back from the bar with three drinks
yep.
for him, Claudia and Bronte.
Sorry, the phoner was as a celebrity bought you a beer.
Almost. Almost.
That is outstanding.
Didn't John Singleton, he shouted the whole Rose Hill track when Belle de Jour won the Golden Slipper back in 2000,
right.
didn't he? That's not bad. Leanne has given us a call. Who shouted you a drink, Leanne?
George Harrison from the Beatles.
Oh wow. How did that happen?
We back in the 80s, my girlfriend and I were at Hamilton Island, and there's a pub on the water edge, and him and Jimmy Barnes and a few other people had all been out fishing. They came back to the red bar, shut the doors, and said, no one's allowed in or out, and drinks are on us.
Oh,
and we just stayed there all day drinking with these guys and jamming, and it was the best time of my life.
Oh, man, that is an unbelievable story. Anyone else that we would know? They're just Jimmy and George, or was there anyone else?
George. There was John English. There was, I can't think of his name, but you remember the Odd Couple?
The Odd Couple, Tom would know.
Jack Klagman.
Wow.
Yeah, he was there too. And later on, George took us. He had actually had a house on the island, and he was a vintage car collector. So he took me and my girlfriend down there to check out his vintage cars as well. So it was a top.
Just you and your girlfriend down to check out the vintage cars. Is he a good kisser, Leanne?
Didn't get there.
Well, I take it your girlfriend did then.
That's
well, you
not
ended
bad.
Up with Jimmy Barnes instead, did you, Leanne?
No. Jimmy's a good boy. Yeah. Jimmy was a good boy.
John English.
Jimmy's a good boy.
Right. Yeah, you know what, though, Leanne? Even if you didn't hook up with George Harrison, I'd claim that you kissed a Beatle.
Yeah, come and have a look at my vintage cars.
Wow.
How many times have we
That's
all said
awesome
that?
That's an awesome story. Alex in Rosebery, who shouted you a drink?
Russell Crowe, the man himself.
Wow. Whereabouts were you, Alex?
Well, I was the manager of the cinemas in George Street in 1996. And we hosted the premiere of Virtuosity, which was the movie with Denzel Washington. It was Russell's first premiere in Australia of a movie. So we walked the red carpet and did the premiere. And then we went to the after party at Planet Hollywood across the road. And because I had an access all areas VIP pass, I went into the VIP area. And Russell was there and thanked me for looking after him and bought me a beer.
See that?
Generous.
And the next day, I actually appeared on the front page of the Telegraph with him walking the red carpet, which was a buzz as well. And 10 years later, I hosted the premiere of Beautiful Minds, and I brought the newspaper clipping, and he again bought me a drink and signed the newspaper clipping.
Oh, amazing. That's a great story, Alex.
That, you know what that sums up, Rusty, though? He just Rusty's one of those guys, when he likes to tip a few in or have a few drinks, he likes people around him to have a good time
get
as
involved.
Well.
Very
so
generous.
He's not a bad bloke to be around when he wants to have a beer, because you might be able to score yourself a couple of freebies, sir.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be nice.
Just one off the wood, eh?
Oh, jeez, that's a good story. I can't believe
Thanks,
that
Alex.
Hamilton Island story.
Neither. I didn't realise that George Harrison had a house on Hamilton Island and a vintage car collection on Hamilton Island.
That would have been...
How do you I didn't get vintage... think you could drive on Hamilton
How
Island.
How do you get vintage cars to Hamilton Island?
That would have been a... that would have been at the peak of Barnsley's partying career as well.
That's why I was surprised that she said Barnsley was a good boy. Tommy, can you look into George Harrison's place on Hamilton Island?
Well, imagine if you could.
I know
just...
you're trying to type with one
hand.
Well,
no, he may have just been renting it.
Well, why would he have a vintage car collection?
Well, you just bring over your vintage car collection.
Oh, Sarah can hold the board while Tom Googles. This works so well.
So,
yeah,
so,
what do you got?
Yeah, so what he's got, they built it in 1987.
This is really interesting.
Yep, and it's still there now.
So he still owns it? So well, his kids would have it, I suppose.
Yeah, his kids would have it. And it looks amazing.
Does it?
Oh, I'd love to go.
On
any
Island?
Vintage cars there at the front, Tom?
I can't see any vintage cars. It's more like a bungalow, like a tropical oasis.
Or Jenny, is Jenny out the front there with her friend?
She's still in the vintage car.
No photos of Jenny.
Back at FJ Ford
the
or something.
The old
or?
Closing down the bar. Oh, and you just happened to be there at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Imagine if you went out for a quick dart. Sorry, guys. Close the bar. No one else can get back in, and you just missed out by a couple of minutes.
All the action.
Bride and Prejudice. This show's been full on.
Haven't seen it.
There's a couple called Brad and Courtney. Courtney's only 18 years of age. Brad's 20, but they've been together since they were like 14.
Yeah, right.
And the thing is that Brad's mum doesn't like Courtney. They're about to get married, and the mum's trying to prevent the marriage going ahead. Because they are a bit young. They fight a little bit, mate. And she said, you don't need to rush into this. Mm-hmm. Just stay together, live together for a while and see how you go, because they argue all the time.
Yeah, sure.
Blew up last night, sir.
Oh, dear.
Brad went on his Bucks party.
Here we go.
To ye olde King's Cross.
Oh, God, tell me about it.
There was no one there.
Never going to end.
And nothing
well.
Was open.
Yeah, so they went for coffee in the city.
So Brad was there. She thought that she'd ring him and check in on him. Thing was, he was at the bar with the boys, having a good time. But in the background, there was a girl, had nothing to do with Brad. She was in the background talking. Courtney heard girls talking in the background.
Sure.
So she decided to come and check up on the boys at the Bucks party.
Oh, dear.
You can't do that.
No, you don't. There's no way you do.
You need trust. You're about to get married. Brad blew up.
What is this night ended up in, though?
No, it's argument. Just hang out at King's Cross all night. Is that what you're saying?
With mate what? And my brother?
And you're going to Darling Harbour.
Grow up. I'm not going to cheat on you. I'm getting married to you.
I would never allow that, and you know I wouldn't.
Then we're done. We are seriously need to split ways. We are done.
We are done.
Come on. Ryan. If he's calling it because she's jealous, he's already cheating.
No, we are done.
If she can't trust him out in the Bucks party,
Fitzy,
it's time to call it off.
If a girl is standing there upset the way she is, you give her a hug and say, I'm sorry, I would never want to make you feel like that. I didn't mean to.
But if she can't,
hate it when girls cry.
She cannot trust you to be out with the boys.
So don't go to the cross. If the only way for you to have friends with your mates is to be ogling topless women, you need to rethink your friend
choice. But see, he wasn't even at a strip joint. They weren't even at Dream Girls.
So you show her that and you say,
"Is that Dream Girls
one?"
Yep. Or Butterbing. They weren't even there. They were at a bar.
I mean, the question is too: is there anything wrong with cheating on your Bucks party?
Yes, Ripper, there is.
Well,
really?
A lot of people would
is
say,
that a question you debate at home with Lisa?
It's also known as your last night of freedom for a reason, Sarah.
No, that's the night before you commit to being in a relationship.
It's actually your night where you go, okay, last time, blow the cobwebs out, now I'm committed.
As of when are the cobwebs? How long's it been, isn't it?
Quite a while.
The romance is pre-marriage.
I'm just chucking anything at you, too.
Well, that's right. So still the honeymoon period.
You're struggling.
No. The idea is that when you wake up the next morning, that's it.
Oh. No, it's not.
Q in the rack. See you later.
And it's people like you that have upset people like
committed
her.
Love. It's a shame. You're dead right. You should never, ever turn up to a Bucks party like that. I mean, imagine. It's like a girlfriend going on a footy trip. You just wouldn't do it.
Do you know what she did as well? She rocked up last night and she did the whole, oh, what are you guys doing? I was just walking through the cross.
Yeah, that's awkward.
I was just going to get some milk. Yep. Oh, you guys are here.
I've lost the cat.
Oh, hi, honey. What are you doing here, Courtney?
Oh, God.
If she's come all the way there, be nice about it.
See, you know what girls play
at...
Sarah, girls play up at hens parties. Breaking news.
Oh, whips. They
Sarah.
Squeal
you know
and
what?
Carry on at
please,
a man.
Please don't try and tell me the girls are innocent when it
Sarah,
comes to this sort of stuff.
You're at your hens party, right?
Yes. Yep.
And your partner, Gary,
mm-hmm. Yes.
is going, I'm really worried about you, Sarah. I can hear guys in the background. I'm coming down. And you're like, Gary, don't worry about it. You need to trust me. Gary rocks up. The girls are on fire. They're drinking out of penis straws.
Yep.
Everyone's having a good time. You know, stuff's hanging out of their hair. And mm-hmm. Would you go, girls, I'm out for the night. I've got to go over and hug Gary,
Gary
and make
like
sure
it.
That Gary's all right.
You'd make him feel better, and then you'd put him in a taxi, or you get him involved, tell him to take his clothes off, and let's do it.
But there's a fireman
honestly,
that's already done
we've
that.
Got him
weeks.
On the line Gary. Now. You there, guess?
Thanks,
Gary,
you prepared to do that?
Welcome to the Dolby Theatre.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture.
Personally, I blame Steve Harvey for this.
Well, Aussies did well. We won 2 Oscars, both for Hacksaw Ridge. And one man who won it as a sound engineer is Robert McKenzie. I don't know, was he at the Oscars? I think he was. He was there and he joins us now. Congratulations, Rob.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Well, congratulations, mate. We want to know, from a guy who's an expert in sound, when they read out your name, what was that sound like, Robert, when you won the Oscar?
It was about as good as it gets, I reckon. Mm. We've been over here for about a month, you know, with all the lead up to everything. So It's been so fantastic hanging out with, you know, fellow colleagues, and I would have been happy for anyone's name to have been called out, but when it was mine, it was even better.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, amazing. Robert. I mean, in the lead up to the Oscars, especially when you're nominated like this, the amount of events that you would attend prior to, talk us through what was about. Big parties, or were they corporate events, or?
Yeah, well, I got here a month ago for the nominees luncheon, you know, where we come and you're just sitting with all the other nominees like Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling, Justin Timberlake. You know, you're just sitting at the same table as all of these guys.
Awesome.
And from then, for the last month, it's been one event after another. You know, it was Kensington Palace with the BAFTAs, and then, you know, hanging out with Kate and Wills at Royal Albert Hall. And
just unbelievable.
And, you know, for it all to come together last night was absolutely incredible. It's a global community. You know, we've made so many friends with all the other nominees from France, from here, from, you know, Montreal.
Did you get your confidence up, Robert, to maybe ask for a selfie? Did you get a selfie with anyone?
Elton John.
Wow, the one and only. Magnificent. Did he perform at an event?
He was at the Vanity Fair party last night. So that was really my mission for the whole night, was to meet Elton John.
Did you have the Oscar on you?
Dancer. Oh, yeah. Oh. And my wife was snapping all these photos. I'll send them to you. It just looks like we were old buddies. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember you.
Just
you're
mates.
You're Australian. Oh, it was so good.
Not many people know, but you were involved with Lion as well, which is such a beautiful movie. We were represented so well this year at the Oscars, and I was a little bit disappointed. I thought Lion was such a beautiful movie that it may have won a couple of awards last night.
Oh, me too. This film was really close to my heart. I mean, honestly, 18 months ago, I was going to have to quit the business. And then I read the script for Lion, and I took that on, and then Hacksaw Ridge happened. So, you know, within, you know, sort of 12 months, it's been a real turnaround for me. And Lion was a magical experience working with Garth. He's an absolutely brilliant director and a beautiful human being. It was really a life-changing experience for me working on that film and seeing what's happened to him and saw him last night. He's back to Australia, I think, tomorrow.
Right.
You know, just fly in, fly out. He's just back to work on his next film.
Great. Fantastic. Okay, we've got to get back to the Vanity Fair party, because this is the party that everyone talks about. This is the biggest one. You know, does everyone get on the dance floor, Robert? Was anyone...
we cut it up. Don't worry about that.
You didn't see Richard Wilkins there, did you, Robert?
I didn't. I'm actually trying to interview with him a bit later on today. I didn't see Wilco.
We love Dickie.
I love just getting the Oscar on the table and having people come up and take photos and, you know, just having everyone be a part of it. It's pretty special. Wow. He got a bit of a boogie on the floor.
Yeah, it's a great story.
Well,
mate,
proud of you, Robert. What an amazing effort, mate. And just, like you said, you were going to hang it up and... Mate, I think you've picked a pretty good year to stick around, Robert. Congratulations on behalf of our show, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Lindsay and Whipper. Nova.